Be ye thankful. May I point out that that's not a request? That's a command. It's a command of God to be thankful. Now you say, well, that's no big deal. Well, a lot of folks would be surprised that one of the commands of God is to be thankful. Look, if you would, back quickly. Hold your place there. But go back, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter 100. Psalms, chapter 100, as we just look at some verses tonight that encourage us to fulfill the command of God to be thankful. We all have things to be thankful for. If you're sitting here right now, I'm going to nail you. If you're sitting here right now, you've got a lot of things to be thankful for that sometimes we just take for granted. Psalm chapter 100, verse number 4. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. When we are thankful, it praises God. When we are thankful, it blesses God. Can you imagine? I can't. Being God in heaven. And just what we mentioned in our prayer time and the things that are going on in this world and the situations and just the turmoil and the tragedy of this life, that a holy, righteous God is sitting up in heaven looking down upon this, and it's miserable. And that's with the wicked, wicked, wicked people. Then he looks down at us as believers and the struggles and the trials that we go through and how often we falter and fail. And it's no wonder that God just doesn't give up on all of us. And yet his love is everlasting. His mercies are new every morning. We've got lots of reasons to be thankful to him. And when we're thankful, it gives him praise. It gives him glory. We need to learn to be thankful. Verse 5, for the Lord is good. That's why we ought to be thankful. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. We ought to be a thankful people. Notice, if you would, Psalm chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95, verse number 1. Psalm chapter 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. We have multitudes of reasons to be thankful. And it gives God praise and glory and honor when we are thankful. And God looks down from heaven upon the world in which we live, and what does he see? Does he see thankfulness? Does he hear appreciation? Is his name honored and used and glorified? I think we know the answer to that. In this world we live in, he is not given thanks. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 1. And again, these are not new thoughts or new things, but let's just refresh ourselves with what the Bible tells us so we might get a proper understanding. Romans chapter 1. The psalmist said, Come before him with thanksgiving, praise, and giving honor and glory to his name. Is that what mankind does? Are we a thankful people? Romans chapter 1. Verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has shown us his mercy, his goodness. How do we react to it? Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Our degenerate human nature is to not be thankful. Our tendency when it comes to God is to not be thankful. And isn't that a description of the world we live in? Our world does not look for things to be thankful for. They look for things to complain about. They look for things to be critical of. I said that God up in heaven must look down upon this sin-cursed world and look at the awfulness that you and I see by our human nature, and we think of how wicked it is. And here's a holy, righteous God up there looking at it. And he looks down upon this and about all that's going on down here, and then there are people that defy him and deny him and are contradictory to him. And God describes that as simply saying this, they were unthankful and became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That ought to be the lead statement of every newscast every night on the news. But that's the condition of the world we live in right now. Being unthankful. Folks just don't like to say thank you. It's out of their nature to say thank you. They think they're owed something. That's the tendency of our society. People are owed things. And they expect things. And they don't say thank you. Look, if you would, at 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I know you know where we're going already. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says this: also know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. A definition of the day in which we live, without a doubt. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Notice the next word, unthankful, unholy. Unthankful, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Right in the middle of that list is unthankful. We live in a world, we live in a society, it's been defined as a thankless society. A thankless society. Wanting what we do not have instead of being thankful for what we do have. And folks, you realize that goes beyond just society and comes inside the church house. It doesn't hit just the lost world, it hits the Christian world. Not satisfied with what we have. Not thankful for what we have, but complaining about what we don't have. We need to examine ourselves and see where we fall short and fall guilty of that. Focusing on the negative instead of focusing on the positive. Now, I'm not Norman Vincent Peale, and we're not trying to push the power of positive thinking, but we're just saying this. We need to learn to be thankful. In this world, there is no attitude of gratitude. It's an attitude of expectancy. And if you live in this world and you know what's going on in this world, people just think everything is owed to them. The government owes them. Society owes them. When something's not fair their way, it's because God owes them. And there's no thankfulness. Thankfulness is good for us. You know, when God tells us to do something, it's because it's good for us to do. When He says, be ye thankful, enter into His courts with thanksgiving, you know why God's saying that? Because it's good for us to do. If all you knew was the Scripture, that'd be enough to know that it's a good thing for you to do, wouldn't it? But let me give you a sociologist report about thankfulness. This was reported a few years ago in the Wall Street Journal. It was a published research that they did in the paper. And here's what they said about this thing about thankfulness. A growing body of research shows us that maintaining an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness will improve psychological, emotional, and physical well-being. I think that's worth repeating. A growing body of research shows us that maintaining an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness will improve psychological, emotional, and physical well-being. In other words, when you're thankful, you're happier. When you're thankful, you're mentally healthier. And all you have to do is walk around this world and listen to people murmur and complain and bicker and all that and see the attitude that they've got. You realize they are unthankful. That's the trend of our society. This research went on to say, adults and teens who are thankful have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, and more happiness than those who do not have thankfulness. They're also less likely to be depressed, envious, greedy, or alcoholics. All that by being thankful. And God knew that, so He simply said, be ye thankful. He just fixed all of those things by saying, be ye thankful. I appreciate our God. They sleep more soundly. I'm all for that. Exercise more regularly. It is also demonstrated that children who are thankful and grateful tend to be less materialistic, get better grades, set higher goals, complain of fewer headaches and stomach aches, and feel more satisfied with their friends, families, and schools. You know, that's not a religious thing, being thankful. Now, it's a command in the Bible, I understand that, but really, if you went around and talked to people and said, well, what do you think about being thankful? They wouldn't tag that or peg that as a spiritual thing, but it's a biblical command that would improve society. And sociologists are just coming around to understand that that a thankful people are a happier people and a healthier people and a helpful people. And all along, God just said, be ye thankful. And here our society, according to Romans chapter 1, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, is not that. And so we understand the condition of the world we're in. One of the biggest problems. You say, well, it's a problem because they don't believe in God. Yeah, that's a problem. But one of the problems is because they're not thankful. We live in a thankless society. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful. What are some things we need to be thankful for? And this is just, here we go. Our health. I'm speaking to people that aren't in the funeral parlor tonight. You know how I know that? Because you're here. You ought to be thankful for that. We talked about two people that passed away yesterday. One of them is very elderly. The other is middle age. We ought to be thankful for our health. He said, preacher, but I've got... Yes, I understand. Believe me, I understand. You have health problems. You're not in a hospital. You're in church on a whatever night this is, Tuesday night. You're in church. You're not in the hospital. Now, so many of us have been in the hospital, and so that makes you thankful when you're not in the hospital. But we should be thankful for our health. You know, the expression is, you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And those that have lost their health understand what they had when they had it. We ought to be thankful for the health that we've got. We're not in a nursing home. Have you been to the nursing home? Every time I go into the nursing home, I thank God that I'm walking out the door when I'm done. Now, that's not a knock on nursing homes, and they're a needed thing in our society, but I'm glad I'm in there visiting and walking back out the door. I've never had to stay in a nursing home. Some folks that are my age go in there, like Carol Stombaugh, they go in there for rehab after a knee surgery, and they spend 10 days, and they can't wait to get out of there. You ought to be thankful for your health. Thankful that you're not there. My prayer for my life is that God will allow me to live free of hospitals and nursing homes. I guess not free of the funeral parlor, but I'd like to avoid that one too eventually by the second coming of Christ. But we ought to be thankful for our health. You say, well, preacher, I have to take these medications and that. Just be thankful that they have those things that can help you when you need them. When you need them. Now, I'm not talking about prescriptions, in our society, but I'm talking about legitimate things. They're out there. You have needs, and we have the way to take care of that, so we're not in the hospital. We're not in the nursing home. We're not in the mental institution. And so take what we can, and we appreciate what we can, and we appreciate our health. We appreciate our wealth. Now, again, I'm talking to a cross-section of American societal benefits. There are folks in here who see something they want, and they can pull out the money or the plastic, and they can buy it. Something they want. Not something they need, something they want. You can. Now others are here and say, okay, I'd like to have that, but I've got to save up a little bit before I can get that. And then there's others in here that would say, I don't even have any hope of ever getting something I need or want. I just got to worry about what I need. We have different cross-sections within our society that are like that. And yet at the same time, we ought to be thankful. Brother Gary, when he was praying tonight, said, thanking God for the heat in the building. I don't think I'm wrong. Everybody in here, when you go home tonight, you're not worried about going home and going to a cold house or a cold apartment. You're going to have heat there. You're probably going to get into a bed and pull blankets or sheets up over you. You realize how many folks in this world cannot do that. I was in Columbus last week. Won't tell you why, because it was a hockey game and that's none of your business. But I was in Columbus last week. And going to a hockey game there at the stadium, Nationwide Arena, and as we walked from the parking lot to that, I saw two people huddled up in a corner in ragged clothes with a little sign that said homeless. You know what I thought when I went by? Now, number one, I'd like to help them all, and I don't have the means to do that, but you know what I thought? I thank God that I've got a home. I thank God that I've got a house. I thank God that I have those provisions. We need to be thankful for it. We need to appreciate the things that God has given us and all the things. We've got clothing. We've got food. We've got our material needs. Not everything we'd like to have. Not everything we want to have. But God knows we don't need everything we want to have. So we ought to be thankful for those things that we have.
We ought to be thankful for our home, that we have a place to go to get away from the rest of the world. Now, I know I probably say this a lot because I really appreciate my house. I like, after being out in this world, and you know, I don't go to bad places. I don't go to bad places. I'm not even going to start listing them because I don't even know what they all are. I don't go to bad places, but I live in this world. And I walk around in this world, and I go into stores and out of places, and I hear things I don't want to hear, and I see things I don't want to see, and I'm exposed to things I don't want to be around, just in the normal course of it. And I love getting in my house and closing the door behind me. I don't have to worry anymore for the rest of that night about the influence of the things around me. I can sit in my chair and kick my legs back and get my Bible out or get a book out and read, and don't have to worry. Don't answer the telephones, because there's only telemarketers anyways. If anybody's important, they know my cell phone number. They'll call me that way. We got to where my mother-in-law is the only one that we answer the phone for anymore. And, of course, Ken's been calling on Sunday nights because he needs to ride to church sometimes. So if it's Sunday at 5 o'clock, we know, okay, we can answer it. If it's times that we think that Ruth might be calling, we can. Other than that, we just don't even answer the phone because there's always somebody wanting something. But I'm thankful for a place to go to, that God has provided something that we have to be thankful for the people that live in that house. Now, we got Thanksgiving come up in a couple days, and you know what? I want to skip over this. Don't think about the people that aren't going to be there that you wish were there. Think about the people that are going to be there. And focus on thanking God, not the other way around. Thanking God for who you're going to be with on Thanksgiving Day. I was watching probably a hockey game, something the other night, and an advertisement came on for a sitcom. And I do not recommend sitcoms, period. Not a single one of them. Don't kill your brain cells by sitting there watching that stuff. Now, I did see McHale's Navy the other night, but they were advertising some modern sitcom that's out there, and it was an older grumpy woman living in her daughter's house, and she says to the daughter, she says, "I'm counting my blessings, I'm at zero." And that's funny. You know, I thought, that is sad. Counting my blood, I'm at zero. You know what that is? Unthankful. Nothing to be thankful for. And I know that's just a TV show and all that kind of stuff, but that's the attitude of the world today. There's nothing for which to be thankful. Unthankful. Neither were they thankful. We ought to be thankful for our homes, thankful for the people that are in it, thankful for the possession of our home. You know, a lot of folks live in countries where you can't own your own place. And I know everything about property taxes and all that. I know all the negative sides of that, but we can have our own place and put our money into that, something that will appreciate instead of depreciate. And I'm going to be careful with a car salesman in the front row right now. But we can put ourselves into something whose value is going to go up, not down. And I would recommend you invest your most of your money in something that will appreciate and not depreciate. But we'll move on quickly right now on that one. We're thankful for the possessions that we have. Most of you have a car. Most of you have a computer. Most of you have a cell phone. Most of you have more things than you're ever going to use in your lifetime. I don't know what happened to me yesterday. It was Monday's the day I try to stay home a little bit, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what in the world happened, but I hope it never happens again for a long, long time. I got up and went upstairs, and Sonia had the, man, I'm going to get you in trouble now, I know. She had the vacuum sitting out. So I said, why not? Started up, went and moved the kitchen table and got it off the rug in there and all the chairs off it, and vacuumed that rug, went into the other part of the kitchen and moved everything and vacuumed that rug, went in the living room, moved all the furniture around, vacuumed. See, I knew I was getting myself in trouble with the men. Moved all the furniture and vacuumed that rug, went into our bedroom. I said, look at this. This carpet needs replaced. What kind of old rag? Never noticed it before. Went in, vacuumed that carpet, got it all cleaned up. And then I got all done. I had them all done. Then I went and swept the rest of the floor that didn't have a carpet on it. I swept all the stuff up around everywhere and got it in the trash can. And Sonia came up and died of a heart attack and fainted. And I got all that done. And then I asked her, I said, where's the stuff to polish, you know, clean off the furniture, stuff like that. Where's the polish, the furniture polish? That's it. Where's the furniture polish? So she went and showed me where it was, because I had no idea. And I went and got that, and I started going through the house and cleaned off the piano and cleaned off the cut, took everything off the cabinets. I don't know what happened, and I hope it doesn't happen again for a long time. But I started doing all this. Then I got into the bedroom and started cleaning off my dresser. Sonia's is over there. Mine's over here. Started cleaning off the dresser. Then I started going through my little jewelry box that's up there and all the stuff that's piled on my dresser. I started throwing stuff away and cleaning everything out. Why am I even saying all this? I forgot where I was at. But I started doing all this stuff, and you know what I did? I know where I was getting. I gave John today a stack about that big of guitar picks. I didn't even know. I never use a guitar pick. I don't know why I had a stack of guitar picks, but I found them all over the places I was cleaning. I found stuff on my dresser I didn't know I had. And I'm throwing it out, and my wife's going out there probably and looking at it and pulling it back out, trying to save it. But I'm throwing all this. You know what I'm saying is this. We have more stuff than we can ever imagine. We are just overloaded with possessions. We need to be thankful. You know, and you know how it is. I'm throwing it away, and Sonia's saying, we might need that in 5 years. I'll go out and buy one in 5 years. I'll go out and get one then. I want to save it for another 5. We have stuff. Every American is like that. Now, I have lived in parts of the world that they have absolutely nothing. They wear the same clothes for 3 or 4 days. They wear the same clothes until they wear out and they throw them away and have to find something else to wear. We've got stuff all. We need to be thankful. And as I was going through all that stuff, I just thank you, God, for the rug. Thank you for the vacuum cleaner. Thank you for the floor. Thank you for the bed. Thank you for. It sounds a little immature, I guess, but I think that's what God wants us to do, to be thankful. We need to be thankful for our heritage as a nation. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. You know what Thanksgiving is? You know what it is. It's when the pilgrims and the Indians sat down together and the Indians saved our necks. All right, they saved the pilgrims when they were going to starve to death for that next year and brought all these things out there and taught them how to do all that stuff. And that's part of our heritage. We need to be thankful for our heritage. You know, Brother Harding said this, we're one of only two nations that was founded on the Word of God. America and Israel are the only two nations that were founded. God gave them His commandments back in the Old Testament. Exodus, Deuteronomy gave them all those commandments and established them. We were founded for religious freedom. That's why they came to these shores. And I know modern historians are trying to revamp that and rephrase it and everything, but the truth of the matter is they came from England, they came from Holland, looking for religious freedom. They signed the Mayflower Compact in the name of God, amen. They came to this world thinking they were going to establish a utopia, a city on a hill, a new Jerusalem. That was their mentality and their thinking. And every one of our state constitutions, the original 13 colonies, before they, every one of their state things says, we are a Christian state and our leaders are going to be Christian people that believe in the Old and New Testaments and in Jesus Christ. That's just our heritage. That's the way it is. We should be thankful for that. You could be from Australia, and I don't mean to knock Australians, but it was founded as a penal colony. That's where England sent all their prisoners and stuck them all out there on a little island, let them live and kill each other and let it go. And from there, it became a society. Boy, that'd be a rough place to be around. We should be thankful for our heritage. I mean, we should be thankful for our heritage. I am a second-generation American. My father was born in America. My grandfather was not. My grandfather, when his father died, left England and came over here with his mother, my great-grandmother, and his brother and his brother's wife. And they all came over here looking for a better place to live than England right during World War I. And they came over and they actually came through Nova Scotia and came through Canada and then went into Detroit and settled all the Leafleys up there. But I am a second generation. I'm glad I don't speak with an accent. I'm glad I don't sound like somebody from England. Now, I'm not trying to knock people from England, but I'm glad I'm an American. And I'm not a English/American. I'm not a hyphenated American. I'm an American. I was born here. I appreciate it. We have assimilated into our society. My grandfather did not teach his kids to speak with a British accent and make them eat tea and crumpets, you know, every day for breakfast or whatever it was. And I sure am glad about that. I'm thankful for our heritage. I'm thankful for the country that we have. And we ought to be thankful that we're born and raised and live in the United States of America. Now again, I understand. I know where we're going. I know the problems. I know all that kind of thing. But I still know this. When our troops go overseas and go somewhere and they come back, they fall down on the ground and kiss the ground when they get back to the United States of America. Because they realize when they see other places. I think every American ought to go visit a mission field, go somewhere else for a little while and see what life is like in other places so we appreciate what we've got back here. We ought to be thankful for our heritage. We ought to be thankful for our heavenly gifts. We ought to be thankful for the things we get from the hand of God. Number one is salvation. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We couldn't keep it if we tried. We'd lose it in a heartbeat. But our God has made us part of His family. He adopted us into the family of God by faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. We ought to be thankful. That's something to be thankful every single day. No matter what else happens, no matter how bad the day is, whether you go to the bank and the lady that used to run it so efficiently is retired, now you've got to wait a long time in line. Whatever the problems are in this life today, we still have our salvation, and we ought to be thankful and rejoice in that very thing. We've got the Bible. We've got Scripture. I know what I'm going to teach next Wednesday night because I spent most of today studying for it. And I'm thankful I've got that book right there. I'm thankful I've got the King James Bible in the English language, because if I didn't have that, I wouldn't know half the stuff that I know about God. Because all the new ones are just whacked out. All the new ones are just leading people astray and watering down the truth of the gospel. I'm thankful I have the Word of God right there in my hand that I can read every day. I am thankful for that. I'm thankful for this place I had to come and worship. Now you say, of course you are. You're the pastor. No, I'm thankful for this congregation. I'm thankful for this group of people. I feel at home here. When somebody feels led to leave our church, not because they moved, the only two legitimate reasons to leave the church are to die or to move far, far away. And when somebody does, I just feel like I couldn't do that. This is my family. These are the people that I know. These are the people we have grown up together. Some of us for many, many years, some for not as many years, but we have grown up and grown together. This is our church, and I'm thankful for it. There's a lot of church congregations that are bickering and fighting and squalling, and we get our tufts every once in a while. We get our eyes crossed, stuff like that. That happens in the flesh, but we've got a very peaceful place here. We've got a place that's blessed of God. You saw all those kids standing up here this past Sunday morning. We've got an opportunity to reach the next generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got some elderly folks here that can be an example to other young people and show them how to live the godly life. We've got so much to be thankful for. The Bible said, be ye thankful. Can I encourage you in the next few days, especially Thursday when you're sitting down, find the things to be thankful for. I know you can find the things to be unthankful for. I know you can, because it's our nature to do that. It's our nature to say, but, that's the way we're put together. But God wants us to be thankful. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Be ye thankful. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, help.